This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks. 97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, a little chilly. Other than that, everything's fine.
I know, right? You picked a chilly week to be in Midland, but I will tell you that the rest of this weekend and even in the first part of next week, it looks like we're going to be like 60s or maybe even some 70s. And so it's going to end up being way warmer than it should be for the first weekend in February.
I don't understand that. If it's 70 degrees, you know, the flowers will come out. They'll think it's spring.
I know, right? And the same thing is happening with my allergies. It goes crazy. It goes from like those days like this week where it was 40, and then it goes up to 70. My allergies, my sinuses think it's springtime. Then something blooms in the air, and my sinuses go crazy.
Wow, what a deal.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't win.
Sometimes I think my sinuses are the weatherman.
They tell you whether it's going to be flowers blooming early or cold, right?
Yes. I can tell you if there's a pressure change coming, if we have a front coming in. And then I think tomorrow is Groundhog Day with Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, I love Punxsutawney Phil. I do love that.
Yeah. And did you see that they want to replace the little varmint with a robot?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, this world has gone too far. They're going to replace all of us with robots. I mean, they don't need us. They just need some robots.
Right. We're no longer people who need people. We're turning into robots who need robots.
That's right. Can you imagine when somebody gets mad at the robot and going to say bad words, the robot won't care.
Yeah, no, the robot won't care.
And he just won't care. Oh, that's going to be hilarious.
Yeah. And then I guess if you get mad at a robot, you unplug it or take its battery out or something.
That's right. I mean, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because they already have them. I understand Walmart has them. All these big companies have them doing all the work that people used to do.
Yes, yes. So many more things are being automated. And so people are, in some cases, in some industries, losing jobs because of these robots. I mean, they have robots that can deliver pizza, and that includes driving the car and taking the pizza up to the door. Now, that's a scary thing.
Now, my question is this. Do you tip the robot?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine you tip the robot? What does he do if you don't tip him?
He's probably got laser beams attached to his fingers, and he'll laser beam shoot you.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord. I just... we have gone kind of crazy.
Yeah, and now looking at you, scaring me out of tipping the pizza robot. I'm definitely afraid.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't know what he's going to do.
I know it.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Oh, what a world.
And what a world.
Wow.
It's gone crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let's give out the phone number.
Yeah, let's do it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And we should also point out that people can go to your website. It's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. They can get all kinds of information about what real investors are really making. Those are real-time numbers. And so people can see, you know, that these kinds of investments, and we're talking about non-Wall Street, non-stock market type of investments. Specifically, we're talking about life settlements, where people can invest in a life insurance policy. And I know it kind of depends on, you know, what policies are out there, what becomes available, who's needing to sell their policy. So that's kind of what the marketplace is shaped by. It's those conditions there. So what are we looking at right now? How does the landscape look as far as policy availability?
Well, I think it's looking good. We're running through a bunch of policies now. We're bidding on policies. And, you know, we'll know in a couple of weeks.
Good, good.
So one of them is a big policy, and the others are small.
Well, that's fantastic. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. So there's a lot of availability, and there's a lot of opportunity coming up. And so why should people – now, this is – you can either do this in your professional opinion or your personal opinion, whichever one you think, and they may be the same. But why should people make that jump? I mean, what's so attractive about a life settlement as opposed to other investments?
Well, now, what I like about – now, this is a personal opinion. What I like about it is they're getting paid from a life insurance carrier. Mm. I like knowing that it's a done deal. In other words, when you make the investment, you know who's going to pay you. You know that you're going to get paid because it is a life insurance policy. It takes a lot of speculation out when you know you're getting paid by a life insurance company that's worth billions of dollars. That takes that part of the equation out. So then it's a matter of timing. This is a timing vehicle. It's all about time, when you're going to get paid. So I like that a lot, that it's not like the market where it bounces up and down every day. Today you may make $20,000, but tomorrow they may take it away from you.
So with a life settlement, you're basically removing 50% of the worry. You know, you got two things. How much am I going to get paid and when am I going to get paid? If people already know how much, that takes half the worry away. Now all they're thinking about is just when. They sit back and wait.
That's right. It's just a matter of when am I going to get paid, not if I'm going to get paid. Mm-hmm. The stock market has a lot of ifs.
Yeah.
This takes all those ifs out because you know you will get paid, and you know what life insurance company is going to pay you. You know what they're worth. I mean, that's the good parts about it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people won't have to worry about things like, you know, yesterday when, you know, early in the morning, you know, first thing before lunch, the Dow had already dropped more than 400 points. And so, you know, people go into that thing where it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, literally, am I going to have anything left? Is my portfolio going to survive? Is this the big, I don't want to say crash because it sounds a little intense, but is this the big, you know, second recession? Is this another 2008? And the great thing about a life settlement is no matter what happens on Wall Street, your investment in a life insurance policy is not affected in any way, right?
That's right. Now, I read a person's statement that they brought in this last week, and what shocked me is I hear the market's just been climbing, climbing, climbing. They had investments in the S&P all year, and they did not make one dime. They just didn't do well, and I don't understand that.
Okay, so people are talking about how great the market has been. But if people are looking at their sheets and they're not seeing it translating into profits, then what's happening? Where's that greatness going?
I don't know. I'm thinking it's just a few stocks.
Hmm.
You know, it's a few stocks, the big, big stocks that made the money. That's what I'm thinking.
Because I keep hearing people say things like, oh, man, my portfolio is great. The economy is great. My portfolio is growing. And then when you actually drill down to it, you know, in just personal conversations and then, you know, from what it sounds like you're seeing, that's not translating to actually people's profit. It's yeah, I mean, yeah, things are growing, but there's not a lot of people. It's not a widespread thing. Like you say, it may be just a very few stocks, and so a majority of people are not benefiting from this, is what it sounds like. Am I understanding that right?
I think the ones that have certain stocks, they did real well, but I think the others that were in broad base, like the S&P, It went up and down so many times they didn't make a profit.
Wow. So it just depends if somebody is in a position to get lucky.
I think so. And it depends if they just had the big time stocks or if they had mutual funds. I think that's the difference right there.
So then here's how this translates as far as I can see, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like if people are in the stock market and they're hoping they get lucky, and that's what they're basing retirement on, they might as well throw a chunk of cash up in the air and see where the wind blows it. Right. I mean,
I like that idea. Yes, I think they have to stick with a certain regimen in order to make money. In other words,
yeah. So it sounds like, you know, as people, you know, navigate, you know, the landscape right now, it sounds like people may be in the timing may be right for people to go a little bit more conservative, maybe get into a life settlement. What would you say is the biggest, maybe adjustment from going from like a stock market type investment to a life settlement? What's the biggest adjustment?
You don't have to watch it every day. You don't have to get up at midnight and check to see what your stocks are worth, if your portfolios went down or if it's went up.
Mm-hmm. So really, it's a matter of, one, people's personal nerves, which is a huge thing because they don't have to worry. It's basically a matter of setting it and forgetting it. And if people are, you know, the kind of investor where they can just literally wait for the policy to mature, that's all it is. It's a matter of patience. And really, when it comes to, to really oversimplify this, when it comes to retirement, if the worst thing people have to worry about is just being patient for their money to come in, that's a pretty good deal, I would say.
Yes, I think it is too. If all you've got to worry about is when it's going to come due, not if you're going to get paid, not if you're going to make a profit, but when it's going to happen.
Yeah. So
that's a lot simpler.
We mentioned, you said a couple times that people don't have to worry about if they're going to get paid. Why, and I know we've talked about this many, many times, but why don't people have to worry about it? Like, practically speaking, like putting it in everyday blunt terms, why don't people have to worry about anything like that?
Because they are involved in a life insurance policy. They've invested in a policy. So they know the life insurance company is going to pay them when that person passes away. So that's why it takes the worry out of that and the risk out of it, because you know the life insurance company will pay. It's like you carry life insurance, and you know that if something happened to you, they will pay off.
Yeah, and it's the amount.
And that's what every person knows. They're familiar with life insurance. They know if they have a life insurance policy, it will pay off.
And they don't discount the policies based on anything. It's like, this is the policy amount, this is what it's going to pay out. So when the policy matures, that's what's going to pay out. Except in this case, when you're investing in it, the life insurance company, instead of paying the beneficiary, the investor becomes the beneficiary, and so they pay that person. Or if there's five people in a policy, they pay those five people. That's basically how it works, right?
That's exactly right. And the bank has been doing this for us for a long, long time. This bank has lots and lots of experience at doing this. So when they get the certified death certificate, they send it to the insurance company, and the insurance company pays.
Hmm.
And it's just that simple.
So when people are looking at this and they say, hey, you know, this is really, really great, but, you know, I see people on TV selling their life insurance policy, and these elderly people, they've got wheat fields blowing behind them, the sun is shining, they're happy, they're drinking coffee.
I love that story.
They're on their cell phones, they're riding a bike, they're traveling the world and going on cruises. How do I know that this is a great investment? Why is this going to be such a great return for me?
Well, because those people is seeing the sunshine and all that, there's nothing wrong with them. So they're going to get a very small amount for that policy.
Yeah. So when you say that there's nothing wrong with them, what you're...
Because they're not ill, and so they're just going to give them a small amount. You know, I don't know how much they're getting, but it can't be a large amount because they're not even ill.
Yeah. And God knows when those policies are going to mature, they could go on 30, 40 more years.
That's exactly right. You take someone that sells the policy that's 60, they may live to be 90.
Yeah, Yeah.
So you're taking a great risk by buying their policy.
Yeah, and the return on that, you know, even if it does pay off in, say, 30 years, I wouldn't imagine it would be all that great. So this is what makes this such a specific investment. It makes it so this is probably the most profitable, at least the ones that I can think of, because you're investing in policies only of people who are diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So what is the benefit to investors for investing in those types of policies?
Because they're a lot shorter, they're quicker. You know, these people are going to pass away a lot quicker than these people in these ads that are riding the bicycles. So, you know, you're not going to have that long wait, so your profit is there. And that's why they do it, because it's a quicker profit. It's short-term investments.
So I guess to kind of do a little comparison, we were talking about, you know, the elderly people with the bicycle, they sell their policy. It may go another 30 years, whereas somebody diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, it may very well mature in 18 months. And there's a big difference between waiting 30 years and, you know, a year and a half or 2 years.
That's exactly right. And we had another policy or two mature this week. And this Angela Green policy, we bought it back in March of 19, and she died on January 15th.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a little $250,000 policy. Three people were in it. But that just shows you, when it's a cancer policy, you know, it's going to mature, and usually pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
We had two of those this week, two different ones that were $250,000. One had went over and was past due, and the other was early, and that's the way it works.
And so when you have somebody who has, like, say, a $250,000 policy, how many people, generally speaking, and I know it can change and vary policy to policy, but how many people might be in a policy something like that?
Three.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you wouldn't have more than three.
So you basically how this works, I know I'm going to jumble this up and make a mess out of it, so you may want to clarify this, but basically how this works is you have three people in a policy for $250,000. You divide it up roughly in three ways, and then that way, when the policy matures, the profit or the return gets split among all three people, right? You could explain that better.
That's exactly right. And like, we bought the policy, I think, for $218,000, something like that. So the difference between what we paid for it and the face amount is their profit.
So that's about a $22,000 profit.
I think they made 20 or 22%.
Well, that's pretty good. I would say that's pretty amazing.
I thought it was pretty good, and I imagine they do, too.
Yeah. To make that kind of money in that amount of time that quickly, is that's rather impressive. So the way this whole works towards retirement and growing your wealth is that you don't just get in and you get out. You take a quick policy like that, you turn around, you reinvest in another policy, right?
That's exactly right.
This is all about a big picture. It's about a strategy to grow your wealth. And so do you find that people come in and they say, gosh, Faye, I want to be in somebody that has $1 million policy or $750,000. I want to be in that, and I want the whole thing, and I'm going to reinvest once and retire next week?
Nobody says that. You're completely wrong. They're not going to say that. They know that it's long term, you know, 3 or 4 years. They know that it takes 7 years to double your money, so they know that it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It takes time,
mm-hmm.
and that they'll have some that'll come in early, some won't. So it's all a numbers game.
It's really, it's a slow and steady, I guess, growth strategy. You know, if you're trying to go for that quick bang, like, you know, something like a lottery or a one investment, and then, you know, you just explode and all of a sudden you're ready for life and you can buy basketball teams and football teams and islands in the Caribbean and things like that. Anybody that's looking to do that probably is investing in nothing more than hopes and prayers, and it's not very practical, right?
No, this is a very practical solution. You know, it's down to earth. It works. We use the banks. We do everything by the book. We do it for every protection we can give the people. And that's why we have the bank handle all their money. We don't touch the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we escrow the premiums where we know they'll be there for them. That's why the bank pays them when the people die. And it's simple. They get one big check at the bank, then they distribute it in their base accounts. And we do it over and over again.
Could we? We've never summarized it like this, but would it be accurate to, I guess, characterize a life settlement type of investment and growth strategy as realistic?
I think it is very realistic.
Okay, because I know, you know, people think, well, you know, if only this will happen, if only that will happen. There's so many variables in other types of investments, people never know. And so it's, you know, well, hopefully, well, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed, knock on wood. But with this, you know the profit, you know basically when you're going to get paid, unless it goes over or something like, or even if it comes under. And so this is, it's a slow and steady growth. You invest in one, you take your profits, invest in another, invest in another. How many policies on average do you recommend people be in at any given time?
Well, they need to be in six or seven policies in order for the numbers to work, because there may be two or three will go over. There may be two that'll come in early. So you've got to work the numbers on it. You know, a percentage of them are going to do all of the above. And I think they're doing a lot better job now than they were 4 years ago on the doctors. I think the doctors are doing a much better job. And I think the ones that we've done in the last 4 years are coming due a lot quicker.
Is, when you say a lot quicker, is, are you like taking into account, because I know at one point, a couple of months ago, we started to notice a trend, and we had talked about this, that you had seen that a lot of the life expectancies were getting a little bit more conservative, you know, so they may say, you know, they may say 24 months, but in reality, it's probably more like 18 or 20, but they started adding that little buffer in there. Is that still the case?
They are, yes. Yes, they are, because they're all getting more conservative. And, of course, what we're doing is we've started adding 12 months on the life expectancy for escrow. We've started escrowing an extra 12 months on every policy.
So the people are covered, no unexpected.
Yeah, we're covering them a little bit extra.
So, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I understand what you're saying, and they're still doing this little padding for the life expectancy. That means that if they say 24 months, we'll just use this as an example. If they say 24 months, they think the policy will mature in 2 years. So that's how much it is. It's 1% a month. That's the profit margin. So if realistically they think it may come in 20 or maybe 22, maybe 18, we'll just go with 20 just for, you know, the hypothetical story, then that means that they're still going to make 24%, but they're going to make it faster, which means profits are accelerated, which means they can take more quicker and put it in other policies, which kind of leapfrogs the process and makes people more money quicker. Is that fair?
If it works that way. You know, we're gambling on it and saying, it's already always come due this time, but now they're saying 24, 28, but we think it'll come in a little early. So we're just leaving it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying, okay, we're going to do the 24 or the 28, even though in the past that particular cancer has come in early.
Yeah. Now it is a numbers game. I mean, you know, like you said, you're kind of, you know, it's a process. It's not just, you know, okay, this is when it's going to happen and that's it. Sometimes it comes early, and then sometimes it comes in late. And that's, I guess, one of the big three risks of a life settlement is that it may go over and you may have to pay those premiums, right?
That's exactly right. But it will come due. It will pay off. You will get your profit. And that's the good part about it. It may go over, but then you may have two or three go over, then they may all come to it one time.
Mm-hmm. And so this is over a long-term period. So if people get frustrated, especially maybe at the beginning of the process, you know, maybe a policy or two goes over, do they start to panic, or do they kind of settle down when they realize, oh, it's a percentages game, some will go over, some will come in early, some will come in on time?
Well, if they've never had any go over before, and a couple of them go over, yes. They go, oh, my gosh, I've got two that have went over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the person comes due, then they're back on the board again saying, oh, yeah, now I understand.
Yeah. And so I would imagine probably for new investors who are going through this process, realizing that it really is the law of averages and it all works out in the end, I would imagine that's a whole lot more comfortable place to be than knowing that, oh, my God, my whole money, my whole portfolio could be wiped out if the wind blows wrong over in China on the stock market.
That's right. Yes, that is a concern for all people. If they're in the stock market, that is a big concern for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like a life settlement is really, if people can just be patient and slow and steady with the process and really just learn to relax and not panic, just wait for these policies to mature, it seems like it would be an excellent opportunity to grow just about anybody's portfolio.
It is, because I have a lot of people that it's the husband and wife, their mother's in it with them. I've got a lot of people that they've got their children in it with them, and I've got one family that the two sisters are in it in addition to the family.
Really?
So it's everything we do is a family affair. We have lots of people. We have lots of families in it. Once they see how it works, they bring the rest of the family in. So everything we do is family orientated.
So when people first come to see you, how much should they plan on bringing over to get started?
Well, usually the average is about $250,000 to $300,000.
Okay. So if somebody says, okay, well, I could do that, but I'd rather not. It kind of takes me below maybe a threshold that I like to have on hand or whatever. We're also talking about rolling over 401ks. We're talking about, you know, other types of things. So what does it take to actually get involved, you know, as far as being accredited and things like that?
Well, first of all, you have to have $100,000. We don't do anything less than that. Then you must be accredited. You've either got to make $200,000 a year, or you need to be worth $1 million without your house. Everything else can count: your lake house, your rental property, your ranch, your cattle, your 401ks, your CDs, everything but your home. And that is not countable.
Okay. So as people are looking at this and they're saying, well, you know, 200, 250, 300, you know, that's fine. But, ooh, hey, now the door opens wide open when they find out, well, you know, to get accredited and to do this, we've got the lake house. We've got this 401k over here. We've got, some kind of asset or whatever. And so people start to add this up, and all of a sudden it becomes much more I hate to use the word burden, because it's absolutely not, but it's much less of a stressor to find out that all these other things count. And do you ever have people that think, it's not going to work out well, and then they start adding things up and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm way over, I'm more than qualified?
That's right. And most people are way overqualified once they add up what they have, because they haven't added up in 5 years.
Yeah.
So they don't even know what they're worth.
So when we talk about being accredited and we talk about getting into this thing, does it change at all if people want to come in? Because you mentioned the family aspect. Does it change at all if somebody wants to come in and say, like, a husband and wife team?
Well, a husband and wife, they have to make $300,000 between the two of them if they're going to go that direction. Or you can just use his, which is $200,000, but then they can use their net worth together.
Okay.
And do it either way. It's either or. You have to either make $200,000 or you have to be worth $1 million to be accredited.
So there's a couple of different options, a couple of different ways to look at this, and so people should really probably just start looking at it, maybe assessing their situation, finding out what assets they have, you know, get into their 401 if they have a 401k, you know, maybe from a couple of employers ago, it may be there, and it may actually be able to get rolled over and start making them some money, right?
That's exactly right, and they can do two things at once. They can leave. If they've got an old 401k, they can bring that over. If they've got a new 401k, they can go ahead and start on that. Or they can bring both of them over, or just put a percentage and see how they like us.
Okay. It just really depends on what anybody's comfortable with. And we'll get into the risks here in just a little bit. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to the Giant Ivy Cottage.
The Giant Ivy Cottage. It keeps getting bigger every week.
Oh, man.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia. So what's the topic this morning?
The Super Bowl.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. The Super Bowl, as you know, is going to be in Miami this year. You know who's playing. The 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
Now, okay, let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Lamar Hunt, a Texan through and through, started the Kansas City Chiefs. The Hunt family is one of the richest families in America. They're probably one of the nicest families in America.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Lamar Hunt had every kind of sports deal in the world right there in Dallas, Texas. Years ago, Lamar Hunt set out, and everybody says, we would not have a Super Bowl today if it wasn't for Lamar Hunt. And I didn't ever realize all that. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, the bulk of history about this, a lot of people don't know all this, it's been 50 years since the Chiefs have made it to the grand deal.
Has it really?
50 years. It's been 50 years.
I didn't realize it'd been that long.
50 years since they've been there. And the Vince Lombardi Trophy is because of Lamar Hunt. Years ago when they were talking about all this, Vince Lombardi had cancer. And Lamar Hunt said, let's honor him and name the trophy the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
Wow.
Yeah. And he is the one who started the Super Bowl, Lamar Hunt.
I had no idea.
Yes. And a lot of people don't know about all of his achievements and the contributions he's made to football. But years ago, quite simply, it would not have been called it, except back in 1966. He was a leading figure in the American Football League. And he was one of the founding members, you know, of the Upstart organization after being turned down for an NFL license. So he started the Dallas Texans.
Interesting.
I've got a really bad cough this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
And he moved them, the Dallas Texans, to Kansas City in 1963.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it was just one great idea in a lifetime. And he had this knack for figuring all this out. And while the committee, the AFL and the NFL, they were in the midst of a planning session for these and for a championship game, and the conversation became confused. And they were asking about all this. And Pete Rozelle asked which game he was talking about. And Lamar responded, why, the Super Bowl, the championship game. And everybody goes, the Super Bowl? And they just didn't know what he was talking about. So, in the mid-60s, there was a little bouncy ball, a toy, by Whammo. And his kids played with this ball all the time. He had three children. And it had these high bounces, and his children were crazy about it. Lamar Jr., Sharon, all of them were obsessed with it. And that's what Clark tells us now. And they were playing with this. My dad was also a big fan of college football. And he was familiar with the bowls in that contest. And he combined the two in his mind, and he put super, and he put bowl, and that's how we ended up with the Super Bowl.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And he didn't like the name because he said it didn't have sophistication. The media loved it and started using it right away.
I'm sure.
The public got on board, And that was when Joe Namath famously shocked the Baltimore Colts in the third part of the game. The Super Bowl was the official, and of course it remains today.
Yeah, yeah. And he guaranteed that they were going to win.
That's exactly right. And Hunt, he wanted to add pomp and pageantry, and he stuck upon the concept of using the Roman numerals rather than regular numbers to commence each game.
Really?
How many people know he did that also?
I did not. I had no idea.
Super Bowl V in Miami, and it's never been deviated, not one time.
Wow.
And he did that. That was just another thing he did.
I never thought about the Roman numerals before. That never crossed my mind.
He was responsible for the game's name and the Roman numerals, and he also pressed Roselle to christen the trophy, as I said, in honor of Vince Lombardi when he found out he was terminally ill. And that's how the trophy is the Vince Lombardi Trophy.
I didn't know that either. Huh.
And Lamar Hunt had everything. You know, he was a member of the Hall of Fame, pro football, U.S. soccer, international tennis, the Major League Soccer franchise. He was instrumental in supporting the league in its fledgling years. He also founded the World Championship Tennis. And he had a hand in the foundation of the Chicago Bulls. There just wasn't anything he wasn't involved in.
Good Lord, he's like Mr. Sports.
He was. And the family says we have all of his notes, all of his letters in our archives. And they remain a great source of great importance to all the children.
Well, yeah, I would say so. In fact, I'm surprised that they don't have some kind of museum or so. Or maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they do.
And they may. Now, Lamar's wife, Norma, is still alive, and she will be attending the game.
Oh, wow. Now, how cool is that?
Can you imagine the 54th consecutive Super Bowl, and she will be there?
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
You know, going being at the first one or being part of it and then seeing how far it's come, because, you know, it's evolved a lot over the last, you know, 54 years. And so it's got to be amazing to her to see what they started with to what it's become now.
And everybody says that he was one of the nicest guys in the league, that Lamar Hunt was nice to everybody he met. He wasn't like Jerry Jones and some of these, you know, people that bash everybody.
Yeah.
He was truly a nice guy.
Wow. That's good to know. You know, it's always nice when you find out that the person behind something that's really, really cool is actually a really cool, nice person, you know?
That's right. And he did so much for the different sports. He loved sports. Now, he owned an oil company in addition to all this.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
But sports was his deal.
Wow.
I can remember many years, you know, them talking about all the things he was involved in.
Wow. I didn't have any idea.
Now then, how many people do you think have went to the Super Bowl, and how many times?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. I couldn't even guess.
Okay, who do you think has won the most Super Bowls? The New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They both won 6 championships.
Yeah, I was going to say New England.
And the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers have won 5.
Really?
Yes. New England has the most Super Bowl appearances with 11. The Buffalo Bulls have the most consecutive appearances with 4, all losses. The Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots are the only other teams to have at least 3 consecutive appearances.
You know, I remember Buffalo. It was like the early 90s, I think, around 93, 94, something through there. And they were in the middle of those streaks, and they lost all of them.
Yeah.
I think that's when Jim Kelly was playing for them. I can't remember all the details because it's been so long, but you know, they were so terrible for so long back in like the Joe Ferguson years when he was quarterback, and then they had obviously, you know, Doug Flutie, and then Jim Kelly, and I think they it was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking to make it there after so many years and then lose four times in a row.
Yeah, and the Denver Broncos and the Patriots have each lost a record 5 Super Bowls.
Really?
The Minnesota Vikings and the Bills have lost 4. The record for consecutive wins is 2, and it's shared by the Green Bay Packers, the Miami Dolphins, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The only team to accomplish this feat twice, and the only team with 4 wins, is the San Francisco 49ers, the Cowboys, the Denver Broncos, and the New England Patriots.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know all that.
Yeah, and there's only 4 people that have never been.
Really?
Do you know who all that is?
No.
Okay, the Browns, the Detroit Lions, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Houston Texans.
Huh. Well,
yeah.
Never thought about that. I guess I didn't realize there were 4 teams that had never been to the game before.
They have never appeared in a Super Bowl. They've never been that good.
Huh.
Isn't that amazing?
And
the Cowboys, back when they were winning, were there a lot of times. And then, of course, they now haven't been in years.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't get their act together.
Of course not. It seems like at the beginning of every season, you know, Dallas, you know, does well. They win a game or two at the beginning, and people start saying, going all the way, and then something
happens. Oh, yeah, crap. they don't have good quarterbacks. They don't have good coaches. I mean, they have just got problems.
Yeah, well.
And they could cure it, but they're just hard-headed.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, they've made a change in the head coach position, so maybe next year will be a little bit better.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, that it will get better. It could. You know, they've got the money.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They could get anybody they wanted, you'd think.
Yeah, you'd think. Isn't Dallas one of the most... I don't know what they call it. The one with the most money, or what? However they.
They have a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
Yes, but I don't know what they're spending it on.
You know, I don't either. I know that the game as a whole is so, there's so much money involved in this game that it's never going to go away. That's for sure.
That's right.
It's a monster when it comes to money.
And you would think it would just get better and better, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you think. Hmm. Interesting. Well.
But look at all the money that is spent on it. Look at the gambling. You know, the millions and millions is going to change hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And then look at the halftime show. I mean, look what that's.
Oh,
become.
Yes.
Jeez Louise.
Oh, yeah. And then think of the ads.
Yeah.
The huge money for ads for the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I want to say last time I saw, and this it may have changed, but I think I saw something about companies were paying somewhere around $6 million for 30 seconds.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And it seems like last year's ads, some people didn't advertise. Seems like, if I remember, some of them said, we're not going to pay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that's back on again.
Yeah, I think last year a lot of people were talking about how disappointing a lot of the ads were. There were a couple that stood out, but nothing that was really, you know, whiz-bang and grabbed a lot of people's attention. It seems like after the game last year, that was one of the things people were talking about, is how they were disappointed in the ads.
Yeah, that the ads weren't what they should have been.
Yeah. Huh.
They've got a bunch of new ones for the Super Bowl. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, and then all the other peripheral benefits from the game. You know, you got all the food sales, you got all the catering, you got all the things that happen. You know, that aren't necessarily associated with the broadcast or with you know, the being on site at the game, but you know, in cities and towns all across the country, the parties that people throw, the money that's made off of that as well is crazy.
Oh, any city that hosts the Super Bowl, it is billions of dollars of profit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not any doubt about it.
I saw, I think it was around Wednesday this last week, one reporter was in Miami, and they were talking about how they were still building some structures or facilities or something involved with the games. And I don't know what it was. Obviously, it's not the stadium, but, you know, because Hard Rock Stadium's already there. But it seems like, you know, it's like the Olympics. If the thing comes to your town, your increased sales is out of this world.
That's exactly right. And, of course, the yachts that are there, you know, a lot of these people bring these huge yachts in. It's an amazing deal.
It really is. It is awe-inspiring if you think about all the money and all the attention and all the things and everything that's involved with this one game. It's crazy when you think about it and put it all together. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, we've talked about how wonderful the investment of life settlements is. You know, people investing in life insurance policy, it's nice and steady. It's a process that people go through. It's easier on their nerves. It's much more conservative. It's not affected by all these external things like the stock market. So a lot of people are making the change. However, with as wonderful as the investment itself is, there are three major risks involved, and people need to know that going in.
That's exactly right. There's risk to everything. When you get up in the morning, it's a risk. You may break your foot before you get out of the house.
Yeah.
And the risk of this is not as great. So the first risk is it could go over. You could be delayed in getting paid. It might be a year. It could be 2 years. And you have to know that and be able to set it out. The second risk is it's not liquid during that time. If you had an emergency, you have to have other emergency money, which all of our people do. They're all accredited, so they have extra money. The third one is if a life insurance company ever went under. We've never had one that go under in Texas. They're so huge nowadays, they're worth so many billion. If they had a problem, somebody would buy them, as I always say, before 5 o'clock.
Yeah, there's too much premium income. Didn't you say, and I know I try to quote this all the time, and I don't know that I ever get it right, but don't life insurance policies have to have enough reserves to pay every single policy if they all came in at the exact same time?
That's right. You have to have a reserve on every policy, not just reserves on 5 policies. Every policy has to have reserves that you can't touch.
Now, that's an awful lot of... That should be so reassuring to people. I can't think of anything else that would be so ready to pay out at a moment's notice than a life insurance company.
That's exactly right. And they did that to protect the public years ago. And the banks don't have near that kind of reserves up, but life insurance companies are required to.
Wow. All right. Okay, so we talked about being accredited as well. So what if somebody comes to you? Do you have a lot of people that come and say they think they might be accredited or they might be close, but they're not really sure? What do you do?
Tell them to go home and add it up. Okay. Or come in and bring everything and we'll add it up. Either way.
What about if somebody's really interested in this? Because it is such an amazing opportunity. What if somebody's interested, but they're not quite accredited yet? What other options do they have for retirement?
They can do annuities. Annuities are safe. They've been around a long, long time. And, of course, you know, the companies that we use, the one I like to use for annuities is worth $57 billion.
Wow.
And they've been in business 100 years.
That's amazing.
And they pay well. I like the way they pay. And so I do recommend them to people because I like the way they pay. I go back and look at everybody's portfolio over the years. And they've consistently made money. I've got several people who've got as much money as they started with. And they've been taking withdrawals all this time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So there's a number of options. People need to just, I guess no matter how they get ready for retirement, people shouldn't have that approach as though they're going to get into some kind of something real quick, and there's going to be a fast, big, huge payoff. It's just not realistic. And so whatever people, whatever route people take, whether it's, you know, annuities or a life settlement, people need to go ahead and plan ahead and get started, get the ball rolling. It doesn't take a lifetime of investing or anything like that to get ready for retirement. On average, how long do you think it would take somebody in a life settlement to be ready to retire?
Well, if they're just now starting, I would say, you know, 5 years, 6 years. Okay. But if they've got a lump sum, they can do it a lot quicker. If they've got $500,000 or $400,000, they could go ahead and retire now and just keep working it, and it'll work.
Not bad. Retirement does not have to be scary is the bottom line. So how are you on availability for appointments this coming week?
We will be available for appointments all week long.
All right. So for people to call and make an appointment one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.